Bung Bung! Welcome to the potty is brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the best possible coffee to put in your body. Do you have children that are still, you know, mooching off you, sucking at the teat of the bank and mum and dad, and sometimes literally sucking breast milk out of your teat because they're undernourished? They haven't got that caffeine flowing through their veins. And you know, it's scientifically proven that caffeine is needed for the development of young brains. So if you want your children to start life on top, and if you want to catch up, get to where you want to be, what you're going to want to do is get that Bung Bung Coffee. You're going to want to go to bungbungcoffee.com. That's bungbungcoffee.com. And enter promo code POTTY, that's PODDY, for 15% off all orders. That's 15% off all orders, no minimum, no maximum order. And it's going to jumpstart everything about you. Dude, you might be someone who's never dug a hole before. You're going to end up with a pool in your backyard in 15 minutes, bro. Get on that Bung Bung Coffee. Get your kids out of the house. They're old enough, they can look after themselves, for Christ's sake. Let's go, bungbungcoffee.com. Get around it. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party. Bung, bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman. Because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the captain, the Lindsay Lohan of podcasting. Because I had to dip out of the game for a little bit, go to rehab, now I'm back. That was a lie, that's a lie. I didn't go to rehab, rehab's for quitters. It's just been a wild few weeks, man. And I'm going to break it all down. I'm going to break it all down on today's episode of the Welcome to the Potty podcast. There's just been so much going on. We don't have Boardman today. We're still in this shit together. Oh my goodness, I already swore. But me and Boardman are still doing this together. Our scheduling has been wild, so we're going to start recording on a different night of the week. See if we can fix that issue. But yeah, we're back. It's been a few weeks. I apologize. I guess I actually do guess after this year, really, yeah, after having a kid, there's probably been a noticeable lack in the braggadocious behavior of we've never missed a week type of arrangement, because we've missed several episodes this year. It's the average is not great, but we're here this week. No board man, but maybe next episode after this, we'll have Boardman back and we'll get it rolling again. I know you guys are thinking, like, what about the battle for divorced dads? This guy's never on the show. You're never doing your picks. Well, the less picks you have, you know, if you get down early like Boardman is, there's more chance that he's going to have to front the cost for the battle of divorced dads, man. So if you don't know what the battle of divorced dads is, me and Boardman, we do the NBA picks every week. And the loser at the end of the season, regular season, has to take the other one out for a day that, like, a divorced dad would take his kid out when he's got custody for every second weekend, you know? So, like go bowling, go play golf, you know? Basically, the life that we're living at the moment is basically just a golf day that gets paid for by the loser. But, yeah, go bowling, go to Intensity, you know, the arcade. Go out for lunch, you know, but it's pretty much golf and beers these days. That's pretty much what the loser ends up paying for. Maybe an ice cream. My dad used to take me out for ice cream. And I say used to, he's still alive. But I'm an adult, so I don't really get my dad to take me out for ice cream type thing, so. Where do I start, man? The last episode I did was with Blake Everett. I hope you guys went to his show. He's an absolute killer. And he had a really good Adelaide Fringe season. I want to talk about my Fringe season. And I think I touched on it when I had Blake in the booth. But basically what happened was that I opened on a Friday night, had all that anxiety. I went not suit shopping, but we did the fitting for my friend's wedding, which we'll get to later on in this episode. But we went to the suit fitting because I was a groomsman. So we went and did the suit fitting. There was four of us. Then Rachel and I like kind of got into it that day. I can't remember. It's so long ago now, but I can't remember what we got into it about. But basically, I think there was a little bit of stress about me just not being in the house and her having to look after Kenny that night. And, you know, what are you supposed to do? Like, this is life, you know. I'm a comedian. I got to do gigs. So that was that. So I was a bit stressed. After we did the fitting, before we went to dinner, I was like, I'm going to go move my car. Right? Dude, I was like, I'm going to go move my car because I've got this heavy bag that I've got to carry. I don't want to carry it from this far away. And I'll meet you guys at dinner. So I take off. I call Rachel. She doesn't answer. I'm like, fuck, she's mad at me. So I'm stressing out about my relationship. And I can't find a park. You know, I've gone to move my car. Dude, I ended up probably twice as far away than I was originally. More stressed about my girlfriend. And I had to carry this heavy shit all the way to dinner. Right? So That was a rough start. While I'm walking, I get a text message from Rach saying everything's all good. What are you stressing about? I'm like, your whole attitude's been whack. She's like, you know, my bad, bit stressed. It's all good. He's asleep. Kill it. You're going to have a great set, whatever. So that stress is immediately gone. I feel better. I'm eating dinner. And I'm getting worked up, man. I'm getting worked up about it all. So I finished dinner with the boys. I'm like, look, I've just got to go backstage and chill. I've got to get back on top of, you know, my mental right now. I've got to go set up. I've got to change my clothes. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. That's not good enough. You know, I've got to put my pants on. Got to change my shirt. I can't be sweaty, you know, after I set up this big thing. I can't be, you know. So I go and, you know, I try to go over my set in my head. I don't even have an hour, you know, and you can't like go over it double time, you know. So I go over like the bits that I don't know as well, you know, or whatever. Go over it and we get on stage, you know. It happens. And it's going okay. I get about three quarters of the way through. I'm really happy with how it's going. And these poor cunts. I said shit earlier, so this isn't gonna be the clean episode. So I'm gonna go ahead and call these motherfuckers poor cunts, all right? These poor cunts jump the fence and sit down. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to call them out. Because even though they're in my show for free. Okay. And some of you people are thinking, what comedy show? Jump the fence. Yes, it was an outdoor venue. These motherfuckers jumped the fence, came and sat down. And so I'm actively up there. I'm like, I keep looking at them. They've distracted me. Okay. And I'm trying to just keep going through. They come in halfway through a joke, and it's a long joke. It's a long setup for a nice payoff at the end. And it's actually a joke where I call back to one of my, maybe my second joke of the night. So like, they're not even going to get the call back because they came 40 minutes late. Okay. They jumped a fence. They came late. They didn't pay. They sit down and they start doing real sarcastic clapping, like slapping their knees and be like, oh man, that's so funny. And I was like, okay, someone wants to die tonight. This motherfucker came in here with a death wish, you know? And yeah, I'm talking quiet. My kids asleep in the room next door, and you're like, but Clay, what about the soundproofing? Yeah. I'm a loud motherfucker though, okay? So he's doing all this sarcastic shit, and they sit in for about 10 minutes. So I've got probably, at this stage, I've probably got about 10 minutes left to go. And him and his friend get up and they start walking back to the fence. And he says, tell a joke, cunt, you're not funny. And I just got mad. I instantly saw red. If that motherfucker was within arm's reach, I would have choked him out. Honestly, I would have wrapped my hands around his throat until that bitch stretched out like pizza dough. You understand? I saw red, man. I haven't seen red in a minute either. I haven't been this mad. Last time I got this mad, someone definitely must have called me the N-word or something. I was so mad, but I was aware enough that I was on stage, and I was like, you cannot say anything too wild because you could offend someone else in the audience. Right. And I said was just get the fuck out, cunt. And then he started fucking old tough guy walking away. You know, as he's walking away, he's fucking talking shit. I was like, cunt, just fuck off. Get the fuck out. They jump the fence and then they just stand at the fence yelling for like the rest of my show. And I was like, I can't even hear you, cunt. Like, you know, he's like, what? I was like, I can't hear you with all that dick in your mouth. And then I know that's a shit call. It wasn't, you know, I couldn't even think on my feet. And it's my biggest fear in comedy, okay, if I'm being honest, is the crowd work aspect of it. Because I get flustered sometimes and I can't think. You know, I've done little bits of crowd work here and there that have been decent, but not this. I was so mad. And I just didn't feel that I recovered from it. So the last like 10 to 20 minutes, I just did not, I wasn't happy with. And, you know, a lot of people, some that I didn't know, but many that I did know, came up to me. And, you know, sometimes it's hard when your friends come up to you because you feel like, even though you should be able to trust them the most, you kind of feel like, oh, you're just saying that, you're just being nice. You know, anyway, everyone's telling me it was fine. You did great, mate. Like, don't worry about it. Even a couple of people I didn't know were like, nah, that was a good show. That sucks. Like, I guess that's just part of the gig though. It's a hard gig. Oh, you wouldn't catch me up there. You know, like people were really nice about it. I felt shit about myself. You know, I went out for one drink with my friends after. I was like, I'm sorry. I can't fucking stay out. Like, I feel like shit. You know, I've got to go, I've got to focus in, and I've got to do better tomorrow. Next day, I've got one of these weddings, bro, on a Saturday, during the day, but it's like 3 hours out of the city, 3.5. And it's my cousin's wedding, so I have to go, you know? You know, I'm not like really close with my cousins. I'm not really close with my cousins at all. So it's like, if I don't see you at your wedding, when the fuck am I going to see you type of thing, you know? So I went to the wedding, but it was a grind, okay? My mum and her sister, my auntie, have beef. So there's a bit of anxiety going there, like, fuck, I hope these motherfuckers don't fight at this wedding. I hope I don't have to call a family member a cunt at this wedding. You know, I'm like freaking out. I'm sweating the whole way up. Rach and Kenny were supposed to come, but Kenny had a bad sleep that night. So we were nervous that he was going to be super tired and not deal with it well. So I went alone. I went with my mum and stepdad. I'm in the car, I'm sweating about this shit, and, you know, thinking, oh my God, someone's going to grab the knife out of the wedding cake and slit someone else, slit their tits off or something. You know, I'm freaking out. I'm worst case scenario, you know. Oh, someone's going to grab a corkscrew and shove it in someone's ear, you know, pull out what's left of their brain on top of it, you know, just going mad cannibalistic on it. You know, someone's going to bust a wine bottle over someone's head, you know, freaking out. This is all I'm thinking the whole way up. We get there, everything goes smoothly. I haven't seen these people for, I don't know, 10 years or something. A funeral was the last time I saw them, so there's a lot of questions. It's mentally exhausting. They know I'm doing comedy, you know, they're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they've seen it. So they start, you know, a million questions about comedy, and that, you know, you can't even, you know, if I'm on a plane and someone asks me what I do, I'm a bookkeeper for a furniture company, you know? People are like, boring, I'm not going to ask any questions, you know? You sit next to someone and you tell them you're a comedian. And they say, what? They say, the first thing they say is, what kind of comedy? And I don't like that question, and I'm not going to play into it. And I'm just going to say, jokes. Jokes. That's what we do in comedy. We make jokes. Builders build houses. Comedians do jokes. Accountants do numbers. Plumbers do pipes. Comedians do jokes. So I don't say comedian anymore. Unless I'm not trapped. You know, at the weddings, all these weddings I've been going to, except the family one. I was really just trying to be low key there, but all the other weddings I've been going to, people are like, what do you do? I'm a comedian. And they go, is that full time? I go, yeah, it is. You know, you got to speak this shit into existence. You feel me? So unless you're on a plane and you're trapped next to somebody, like at this latest wedding, I was a groomsman, so I was sitting to two other guys that know me, so I didn't have to go through that shit. Wedding before that, the people that I sat next with thought they were better than me and didn't talk to me the whole time. We'll get to that. Let's go back to the comedy situation. So I can't even remember how I got on that little tange there, that little tangerine, baby. Something to do with, the wedding. I was at the wedding and getting exhausted from all the questioning, I was getting interrogated basically. And, you know, the stress is over. Mum and my auntie didn't kill each other. So I was, you know, I was relieved, but I was also stressed out with some lady that I've never met asked me for a photo. I got a photo with her and she says, this is the first time in a very long time that I've felt skinny. And I told Rachel that and she goes, oh, she was just saying how tall you are. I was like, no. Because she would have used the word short, not skinny. That bitch called me fat to my face. So as soon as she says that, I'm like, oh my God. I was worried this whole time about someone stabbing someone with the wedding cake knife. And I didn't even realize it was going to be me. So soon as I was finished butchering that bitch, we basically took off from there. Got back. I get home. I say what's up to Rach and Kenny. And I basically have to leave and go back into the city and do my next gig. So yeah, I'm exhausted. Now, I only say this, it's not an excuse, but it's a possibility, because something happened this night, and you know, not everyone's going to like you, and that's not everyone's supposed to like you. If you try to do jokes that everyone's going to be like, you're not going to be funny. There has to be a level of, like, they're either going to love you or hate you. You know, there has to be that. And I was doing all right in this show, Saturday night. I was doing all right. I got about, I'd say halfway through. I was about 30 minutes in and there's like a shift in energy. And I don't know if it was me. I don't know if I got tired and hit a wall. I don't know if the audience got tired. You know, the show started at 11:35. So it could have been late. I don't fucking know. Three motherfuckers fell asleep. Two of them I was friends with and I can forgive. And the other one, I didn't know. He was a cop, I think. And he was sitting in the front row. And I forgave him because my friend brought five of his cop friends. And I've got a lot of jokes about cops in my act. And they loved it. The five cops up the front absolutely loved me, except the one that fell asleep. But he was blind. Absolutely blind. So that's fine. You know, but there was just a point where I just felt like I lost him. And like I said, I don't know if it was because I was tired or they were tired or I still had blood on my shirt from killing a woman at a wedding. But it was very disheartening, man. It was very disheartening. And I didn't get much sleep after that because I was just so upset. You know, I had some good friends come that night. I bailed on them. Boardman came that night and a few of his mates. Another friend of mine, Dilbat, was there. And, you know, I said, again, I was like, I can't even come out for one drink. I've got to go home. I hate myself. I've let myself down. I've let my parents down. My parents don't love me. My kid doesn't love me. I'm a shit dad. I might be gay. You know, I'm just doubting everything. So I felt like shit. Barely slept that night. And I told you guys before Perth. So it was actually the day of my friend Michael's wedding. I had a full panic attack. I was crying. Couldn't breathe. I felt like I was having a heart attack. And the day after my second gig, that week, I just started to feel really unwell, and I could kind of feel it coming. And I told you guys when I had my last panic attack, I usually have like one a year, okay? I ended up having another panic attack the week of Fringe. And usually you have them like before something. Well, no, something generally triggers it. But so like I had mine because I was stressed out about getting my material ready before I went to Perth. And then this time I felt like the Friday and Saturday were going to be my best chances of having good gigs because you sell tickets on those nights. And I ate dicks. And then I had another fucking panic attack, man. And this one was, like violent. Like I was fucking, you know, crying, sweating, throwing up. Like it was the COVID of panic attacks, man. It was hectic. And I cancelled all my shows that week. Not because of the panic attack, you know, I usually just fight through that shit. But I just wasn't selling enough tickets that week. And I was like, I couldn't stomach doing a show that I had no confidence in anymore. I couldn't stomach doing that in front of like 15 people. I couldn't think of anything worse. I was like, fuck it. I'll cancel the rest of my run. I'll eat my losses, you know, a few hundred bucks a night or whatever that I'm going to lose out on. And I'll fucking, you always make more money, you know? And for someone that complains regularly about living in Adelaide and there not being enough gigs to cancel three gigs in a row, I guess that's like counterintuitive, but I don't know. I don't have a name. No one knows me, man, I guess. So I can't sell tickets. And it's like, well, how are people going to know you if you don't do your gig? Yeah. Maybe I just need a better time slot. I don't fucking know. 10:30 is not easy during the week to sell tickets, no matter who you are. Anyway, so I cancelled my gigs on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I had an independent gig, you know, the SA Comedy Roadshow we've talked about for my other gigs that I've been running this year with the boys, Michael Bowley, Jay Michael, and Justin Saw, and those have been fantastic, so much fun. Also Sophie Nasser was on one of them. And we had this one booked the Friday after my Fringe run. And we fucking sold that shit out. Now I was still like mad, whatever the opposite of confident is, not confident. And I didn't want to close the show. And I usually headline the show because I book it. So I create the lineup and all of that. And I couldn't do it. I didn't believe in myself, which sucks. So I got Jay to close an eye and he killed it. And I fucked up. Fucked up again, dude. I was killing. I was absolutely crushing. I did one joke and the room was filled with fucking senior citizens, man. So, you know, I did this joke about, it's not even about cancer. It just has the word chemo in it. And they couldn't see the actual joke. They just heard the word chemo and automatically hated me. And so did some bitch on my Saturday show at Fringe too. She yells out, "Oh, that's so fucked up." I was like, what did I say? Everything was funny. Like, the joke is about me walking through a group of skinhead racists and being scared that I'm going to die. And everyone, it's all funny, right? When a group of racist white guys is going to kill me, and then all I say is somebody asked me to leave the chemo ward and it becomes fucked up. Like, fucking grow a dick, cunt. Like, it's a joke because of course I wasn't walking through a chemo ward and mistaking people for neo-Nazis. You understand? Of course that didn't happen. You're at a comedy show and a comedian's on the stage telling a joke. Yes. Yes.
Easy money.
My fuckers are out here straight retarded, bro. Retarded. This fucking outrage culture is crazy. And I'm not even like caught up in it. You know, I had one bitch scream out, "That's fucked up." But she was a retard, so who gives a fuck, you know? But like trying to tiptoe around motherfuckers that are all sensitive over shit that's not even like outrageous. You're supposed to be outraged at outrageous shit. Like, you get terrified by terrifying shit. But no, motherfuckers are looking to, they're virtue signaling, man. Trying to catch people out so they look good. Trying to find something horrific in what people are saying so they look good for identifying it. And it's like, they're jokes, man. No matter what I say on that stage, no matter what I say, as long as it's well-crafted, which that joke is, by the way, and all the jokes in the lead up to that, this bitch laughed at. I watched her. I watched, she laughed at the bullshit, the Asians not being able to drive bit, the Middle Eastern people in an airport, so you cancel your flights. She laughed at all that shit. She laughed. She laughed when the black person crossed the road and robbed two white people. She laughed at that bit. You know, but then when the black person is afraid of the Nazis and he's so afraid that he makes a mistake when he's walking through a hospital and thinks that there's a gang of Nazis that are going to kill him, but it turns out he's just in the chemo ward. She gets offended. Like, bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you can think like, oh yeah, well maybe she knew someone with cancer. No shit, cunt. We all do. We all do. And a lot of people say this one. Well, if you... Well, sometimes you just got to laugh. Otherwise, all you can do is cry. And it's like, yeah, well, that's why there's so many miserable cunts out there. Because everyone's forgot that you can laugh at shit. Everyone's forgot. Not everyone, but just stupid cunts. And, you know, as a comedian, many comedians will tell you they're insecure. Many comedians will tell you they see one person not laughing, it ruins their night. It happens. It happened to me that night. But at Victor Harbour, finally coming back to the sold out show, at Victor Harbour, I did this chemo joke and the room went quiet and I panicked and I forgot my next joke. And I stood there and I said, about 15 times. Then I went and started saying, well, I'm a dad. I'm a dad and I forgot my parenting material. So I said, I'm a dad about 4 times. And then I remembered the joke I was going to tell. And I went and told that. And so people were like, why the fuck did you just say I'm a dad 5 times? It was, it wasn't that bad because the end joke went fine. But I just, yeah, dude, my confidence has been so shook. I haven't done a gig since then either, which sucks because I probably just need to get on stage as much as I can to get my mojo back. But fuck, dude. I mean, that show went fine. It could have been better. It could have been fucking worse. But yeah, man, we got through it. The other boys crushed, which was great. They loved us talking about having us back and all that, which is awesome. But yeah, man, it's been a rough like month or so comedy wise, man. I sent like a pretty well-known agent or manager an email and offered him free tickets to my show. because I was just like, I want representation. I'm finding it really hard to do all the admin stuff with comedy. I just want to focus on the creative, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, give us some tickets. I'll come check it out and we'll have a chat after. And then he didn't rock up. And you never know what happens with people. Something horrific could have happened. I hope it didn't. Or something just like, you know, maybe his car broke down or he got stuck having to, you know, he had to do something. You know, he's got other clients. Maybe he had to do something like that. Who fucking knows? I'm sure there was a reason. But he just didn't show up. So that made me a bit upset as well because I got my hopes up a bit when he said he'd come because I believe in myself. I still think, despite those gigs, man, I still think I've got a really strong hour. I want to keep doing it. I want people to see it. I want to keep working on it. I just don't want to do it in Adelaide anymore because I feel, even though, I personally sell like fucking probably 500 tickets a year. So there's many people in Adelaide that haven't seen it. But it just feels like I'm doing it to the same cunts all the time. So I just want to get out of here and tour, man. And that's what we're doing. We're in the middle of negotiations with a bunch of venues for a Great Ocean Road tour right now. So that'll be dope. Working hard, man. Working really fucking hard. And I don't know. Maybe one day I'll get representation and be able to just focus on the jokey joke stuff, you know? But I'm still happy. I really do believe in my hour. I think it's really strong. You know, like I said, Perth Fringe, the Friday night was one of the worst gigs of my life. And the Saturday night was one of the best. So it's just hard. It's just so hard to know what happened. It definitely wasn't my demo that Friday night. And then Saturday night was a little bit younger and it just fucking went off, honestly. Like, that's what's so frustrating, man. It's like, you just go and fucking blow the lid off a room one night and you do what feels like the exact same. Maybe you're not presenting the same way. Maybe you're not as likable for some reason. But yeah, man. Some nights it just doesn't go your way, but that's the beauty of it. That's why when you crush, it feels so good. It's because you know that shit can go sideways. And that's like, I mean, that's why it feels good to hit a shot, you know, in basketball, because you miss more than you make. So the ones you make feel fucking good. You know, unless you're Zion Williamson or something shooting at like 66% because they're all dunks. But yeah, whatever, man. That's been me, comedy wise. Dude, went to this wedding a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you about this one. We've got like a friendship group. This was Rachel's friend's wedding, but we're in like this little friendship group. So four couples, so eight of us. And it's a really nice little group. I really enjoy their company, and that was who was going to be there at this wedding. But two of the girls were bridesmaids. One was the bride, and then Rach wasn't a bridesmaid. We weren't going to be traveling with anyone to the wedding. So me and Rach got on the bus, and ran into some other people that I know in the comedy scene in Adelaide that knew the bride and the groom, which was cool. We get on the bus, and I went and sat near them because we knew them, or I knew them. And then other people sat around us, and they all knew this comedy couple, and they didn't want shit to do with us, so they just sort of talked over us and through us the whole time on the bus. It was like an hour bus ride, okay? And they're talking about the hospitality scene. One of these guys, it sounds like he owns a restaurant or runs one, and he travels around. He really takes in food culture in every city, and he's talking about Sydney and Hobart and Melbourne and Adelaide and how much Adelaide's grown and all this shit. You know, big know-it-all, this cunt, but he, you know, whatever, he's great. And they start talking about Canberra because one of these couples is from Canberra. Like, oh, it's got one of the best restaurants in Australia, but everything else sucks. There's just nowhere to eat. And I lived in Canberra for a year, and I know this fucking piece of shit restaurant, right? It's called Zeffirelli's, no offense. And so I go, oh, don't forget about Zeffirelli's. And they look at me stone-faced. They're like, what? I was like, Zeffirelli's? They sort of look at each other and like, what? I was like, it's a piece of shit restaurant. Don't worry, it's a fucking joke. And I didn't talk to them. Well, no one talked to me for the rest of the bus ride. And I felt embarrassed. And I was like, this is why I can't. You don't talk to strangers. This is why I don't make an effort. Because you don't even know Zeffirelli, cunt. It's right down there near the Balmoral Mall, man. Everyone knows it. They do. Like, I think all you can get is a fucking palmy there. Like, it's a piece of shit. Everyone knows it. Dogs. So they hated my guts. Then one of them, they were sitting, bro, dude, listen to this shit. These motherfuckers were sitting next to me. We're sitting next to these cunts at the table because it's a sit-down wedding, right? And the girl next to me, she was like I think she was the partner of Canberra guy, you know? She turns her seat, right? So we're all facing this way, straight ahead, because we're sitting at a table. She's next to me. She's on my right. She turns her seat so the back of her seat is facing me. And she's facing down the line of the table. So I took my tie off and I fucking choked that bitch out. And it was the second body I'd got in a wedding in as many weeks. I couldn't fucking believe that behavior, bro. And then one of these dudes comes and sits across from me, like sort of swapped seats with whoever was sitting there earlier. And he's like, hey, mate, I'm what's his face? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. Clay, you know, I'm a bit mad now. And he starts talking and then he gets distracted. So he's come to talk to me. He gets distracted and talked to someone and that was it. That was it. I said, I'm Clay. And then he turned around to start talking to another cunt. And I don't know what I smelled like this day. I don't know what my breath was on. You know, I don't know if I had a fucking booger hanging out my nose, but motherfuckers wanted me to die. And one bitch turned her whole chair away from me and she lost her life because of it. Of course that didn't happen. Well, the rudeness of these people happened, but I didn't kill anybody, but God, was I fantasizing about it. But that was a beautiful wedding, man. You know, the sit down, the food was phenomenal. Oh, man, I love good food. Love good food. Not as much as these cunts were talking on the bus about, but I do love food, man. That's why I'm fat. That's why I'm fat. That's why that other woman got sliced up at my cousin's wedding, because she called me fat. Yeah, man. And then I had my man Jan's wedding, bro. Oh, it was my first experience as a groomsman. As I said, we did the suit fitting together. Four of the six groomsmen did suit fitting together. Well, not groomsmen. One was the groom, then three of the five groomsmen were together. And that was fun. And then the Bucks show was fucking lit, dude. We went to several venues for food and drinks. It was great. So, dude, now I've talked now. This is getting dicey. This information starts to get dicey. So we're going to be very brief here. But picture this. Work crush. Anybody out there got a work crush? All right. So picture them. And then you bump into them at a Bucks show and you hug them for the first time while all the guys are looking at you, and she's all of a sudden their work crush as well. Think about that. That's what happened. So that was the first venue. Then we went and got so much food at the next venue that I was like, I don't know if I'm going to eat for the rest or drink for the rest of the day. And then I quickly realized that was a stupid thing to say, and I kept drinking. Then we went to the third venue, more drinks, fourth venue. About 7:00 PM, and I blacked out at about 8:00, and I was home by about 11:00. And who knows what happened? At the wedding at Jan's wedding, we discovered who got me home, and well, the day before. You know, the day of the rehearsal and all that shit, we were in the bus, me and all the groomsmen and the groom, and we thought we figured it out who it was. And then I talked to him at the wedding, and he was like, oh, nah, mate, I was in a worse state than you. It was my housemate. He sorted us out. And I don't know that guy, but I guess I owe him an Uber, because I was fuck-eyed, absolutely buckled, mate. I came home. And if I'm being honest with you guys, I did a big fat wee-wee in my bed. Rachel didn't talk to me for about 24 hours. She left the house, left me with Kenny. And while I was going through the hangover, I had to babysit Kenny all day. Well, it was not babysitting. He's my son. But we just had a father-son day. And it was fun. It was actually fun. So sucked in trying to punish me. I fucking love him. So he was like all I wanted to be with. So think about that next time you try to punish me. But yeah, dude, the wedding, bro. Jan's wedding. Dude, I was up there. I finished work Thursday night. The wedding's Saturday. Friend of the show, Corey Maynard, flies into Adelaide. He's one of the groomsmen as well. Us three, me, Jan, Corey, go out and play golf Thursday night. Twilight golf in Blackwood. There's fucking ducks, geese, rabbits, kangaroos all over the course. You know, it's beautiful. It was like the fucking Noah's Ark, but it wasn't raining. And then, you know, I play four of maybe the best holes I've ever played. We're only playing nine. I play four of the best holes I've ever played, and then five of the worst. Five of the absolute worst holes I've ever played in my golf career. So I was absolutely ecstatic and then absolutely livid. It was a roller coaster of emotions. Then we went to the pub, and there was a sign up on the counter saying, just so you know, there's a 45-minute wait on food. So we're like, fuck this, let's go somewhere else. We go to this burger joint, order, and we're sitting down waiting for our burgers for about 45 minutes. So that's what you get for being picky. By the time we'd eaten, we were like, fuck. We could have had some beers that night. We were like, fuck it, let's just go. We'll catch up tomorrow. All right. So I went home, took a nap, basically got up, did swimming lessons with Kenny. That was beautiful. And then went to my mum's house. It was my stepdad's birthday. So we had some coffee and cake. And then I looked at the clock. I was like, fuck. Rach, you got to drop me off at Jan's place so we can go and do all this shit. Rach takes me up the hill, drops me off. And we go to the rehearsal. That's fine. Then we go to Jan's parents' place on the river, the Murray River. And, man, they put on a spread, these folks. God, there's just beers and food and beers and food and beers and food, bro. And then a bit of weed right at the very end. That was nice, bro. That was nice. That was a beautiful day. And, you know, I made a couple new friends, I think, over the last few weeks because the groomsmen, you know, I got to know them a little bit more at the suit fitting and then a little bit more at the Bucks and then a little bit more the night before the wedding and on the wedding day. And that I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. So shout out to, you know, DJ and Lucas because didn't really know them that well. I probably still don't know them that well, but I know them better and I really enjoy their company. And so I've got two new friends, I would say. And I don't, you know, you guys know me. I don't really get into new friends that much. Basically because I assume everybody's going to act like the motherfuckers on the bus to that other wedding. But I digress. We get up Saturday, day of wedding. And my golly gosh, Gabby. I banged a girl one year when I was about 20 years old, maybe 19. It was doggy style, if I'm thinking correctly. And she kept saying golly gosh the whole time. And her name was Gabby. And so I remember her as golly gosh Gabby, Triple G. Okay, so anyway, we get up. Perfect day for a white wedding, as Billy Idol once said. And we do the – I cook breakfast for everyone, actually. I cooked breakfast for everyone, and I did a pretty swell job, I might say. I must say. And Jan's mum went to go get her hair done, and she brought us back a really nice bottle of whiskey. And then the photographers came, so we were doing, you know, whiskey and beer and getting dressed, and they're doing all the photos, and that was really cool. But then we had to finish a whiskey and a beer, and then basically it was time to shoot off to the wedding, man. Quick. Like, this wasn't even my day, and it flew by, so I can only imagine how much of a flash in the pan it must have felt like for Yanni. But, you know, the photography crew were all, they were really on top of it, so I'm sure they've got so many memories. And man, I'll tell you this, the people that these two have around them, the level of positivity and generosity and love and kindness and friendship was astounding. And, you know, this was my sixth wedding of the year. And it was just, yeah, I think being in the groom's party, being a groomsman, like you spend a bit more time, you know. So I was with the family on the Friday, the Saturday. And when we went to the rehearsal, like all the girls were there and so were the parents, both sides of the parents. And you meet them and you see a lot of more of like behind the scenes. And, you know, I know many people have this as well, but I really got to see it. And, they're so lucky, those two. They're so lucky. They're both super accepted by each other's families and loved and looked after. And yeah, man, just that's good for them, you know, unreal. So we're there, we're down there. Dude, this was so funny. We get to the venue, and Yon's mum's got some she got some balloons. She wants to hang some balloons at the front so people know that they're at the right place. And I'll tell you this, they're not going to get confused because there wasn't another place for fucking miles, all right? But she puts this thing up and we're there for like, you know, maybe 2 minutes. We stop the bus so she could do this and he starts to flip out. Like he's been cool, calm, collected the whole couple of days. And this was his time and he fucking snapped, bro. And my God, was it funny. He fucking snapped. And he's snapping on her and he's snapping on her. And then she's like, all right, well, let's just go back and I'll fix it. And he's like, no, well, I'll fucking go back. Dude, it was so funny. I gave him a little bit of space and I got off that bus and I almost pissed my pants laughing, bro, because, you know, he went full Bridezilla on him. And then when we got closer to the wedding and he comes over, and I was like, bro, that was so funny. He's like, yeah, bro, I just lost it a bit. I was like, yeah, a little bit. Can't. I was like, how about just like, don't talk to your parents again until this shit's done with, all right? Just keep it cool, relax, talk to the boys, you know. And he got through it. He smashed it. He's an emotional man, but he was great up there with his vows and all of that. So that was, it was amazing. It was so good to be up there with him. I've never been a groomsman before. So I didn't know that it would feel as different as it did. And it felt mad different. It felt mad honorable, man. Really honorable. It was dope. It was dope. And dude, like for this to be my sixth wedding, and honestly, I don't mean any offense to anyone about this, but like when you got this many weddings, like they start to become a bit of a chore. But I felt like I was on vacation this weekend, man. I didn't want to go back to real life, man. Like what a perfect 3 days I had. And it wasn't even about me. And it felt like it was, man. Like it was just like, I felt like I was on fucking vacation, bro. It was amazing. Their food at their wedding was unreal. They had more piss than you could sneeze at. They had, you know, you think of all the details people have to think of for a wedding, and it's just like makes me even further not want to get married. Like you've got to choose chairs, tablecloths, cutlery, you know, flowers, obviously, napkins, menus. This, that, and the third, bro. It's just like, you think about it and it makes me want to have my third panic attack for the year. But, yeah, what a time and what a couple and what a family they have. And I mean that, as in literal family and all the friends and people that love them. You know, I was working the room a bit and people only had the best things to say about them, which you expect, but it's just nice, man. It's so nice. People see you with those flowers on your lapel and they know that you're a groomsman and they probably, you know, they see fucking six groomsmen over six foot four or whatever and they just, all they need to do is approach a tall person and they're probably a groomsman, but they see those flowers on your lapel and they come up to you and they're like, oh, wasn't he great? And, oh, isn't she beautiful? And they just have such great things to say about him. And it's so good to hear because they're, you know, you love them. That's why you're there. Yeah, really, really honored. There's a couple people I wanted to avoid. Not in a bad way, but shout out to Coach Rags. I felt like I was really chewing his ear off at the Bucks show for the 1 hour I can remember of it. But I was like, I've got to keep my fucking shit together and my mouth shut around rags for once, you know? And I felt like I did that. I didn't black out at this wedding, which was nice. I didn't wet the bed. But I had a big, big, big headache on Sunday morning. We had recovery drinks, but we had Kenny. So we went for like an hour and a half and he was getting tired and needed to sleep. So we left. That sucked. I was keen to like sort of have a crack on Sunday as well, but it's for the best. I had a pretty big day at work today. I'm in bookkeeping for a furniture company. I was going to do closure reviews today, man, but pretty much at an hour. I reckon that's all I wanted to talk about. I mean, I've got. It sounded like I was really down about comedy and, you know, a little bit of a disappointing run. But I said it before and I'll say it again, if not to you guys, maybe just to myself, that I believe in my abilities as a comic. I believe in my joke writing ability. I believe in my joke telling ability, my performance ability. And, you know, sometimes confidence will hit you. And I think it did. And I'll get it back. I'll get it back. I just need some stage time. Yeah, I think I've got a really solid hour. I've got a really solid hour and people need to see it. People need to see it. Dude, I'll never forget. And again, this is another way talking to strangers can be a good thing. Because this guy in Brisbane after one of my shows, and I only did, I think, 10, 15 minutes. And he comes up to me and he's like, mate, thank you so much for that, because, like, that was so fucking funny, and, like, I actually feel like I learned, like, some of the black experience, like, what you actually see and talk about. And that's, like, that's part of it. Like, I just want to be funny, but, like, for people to actually take that from it, like, you kind of have it in the back of your head when you write. But, like, to actually get the feedback, I want to hang on to that. And I want more people to see it and more people to feel like that and learn and understand, like, sometimes shit's not sweet. And you know what? Sometimes it is. Sometimes shit's really funny. Sometimes terrible shit is funny. Sometimes getting beat up by a cop is funny. Because I'm still here and I can joke about it. Rest in peace, George Floyd, man. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.